Hello, everyone. How are you today? Everybody okay? All right, let's get with the sermon for today. Our message is it's coming out of another parable where we, last week and the last weeks, we've been stopping at some of the parables. Parables are just so profound. Parables are so powerful. Instruments of teaching the gospel and the thought, the line of thought that we as Christians are to portray, right? So we're going to continue on that. You know that there's a lot of people that at some point in their lives have been put down, right? Have you met people like that? Maybe it was yourself, right? I remember... and maybe I just told this story before, and I'm going to say it. I'm going to try to be as humble as I can, but I am proud that I was able to do this. I come from a family that wasn't always that tight, right? And a lot of people didn't think I would make it. I remember I was about 17 years old trying to apply for colleges. And one of the best colleges in Puerto Rico is the University of Puerto Rico. It's the college. And it's hard that somebody would actually tell you, if it's a relative, you can't go there, because that is... basically what he said is for smart people. And I didn't consider myself dumb in the first place. So I said, okay. But that just... gave me the drive to do it. By the way, I went to that university. And I did what I had to do. And I got my education. One of the people of our family with a higher education, that's me. The son of Juja and Ernestito. The one that probably shouldn't have been there. But God is good. All the time. All the time. And God includes everybody. Some people have been looked upon as a lower or nothing or beneath. And then when they have humble hearts, when God wants to do something, he does it anyway. And so we can give him the glory. Amen? So in God's world, in God's eyes, we're not some of us are called in some stages in life, some of us are in, and some of us are out. But in God's kingdom, we're all in. Amen? And that's the sermon title for today, All In. Who's ever heard of Eva Perón? Evita. How many of you saw Evita? All right? Now, Eva Perón died in 1952. How old was she when she died? Does anybody know? She was 33. She was very young, okay? And she lived in Argentina. Somebody say Argentina with the accent. Oh, that was beautiful. All right. She lived in Argentina. This is a long way away from us, right? And this was long before I was born. Because you all know that I'm only 18 years old. Yet this woman, Eva Perón, this woman for brief years held Argentina's heart in the palm of her hands. But it wasn't always like that. Now you see, she was married. She married Juan Perón. Who was Juan Perón? The president of Argentina. He became president in 1946, and Eva Perón became the first lady. Tradition had dictated that the first lady would have some status, which Eva Perón didn't necessarily have in her childhood, because there was some sketchy stuff going on in the family. Not only that, but she... was an actress too. And not some argue that she wasn't that good at being an actor. I don't know. I don't remember. 18 years old, remember. But she was not looked upon by everybody with good eyes right away. The upper crust of women in the society could not tolerate the fact that Evita, although she was the first lady, came from a kind of dirty background. They were trying to get that in the way. And was someone of such minor significance to them that the fact that she was an actress, that really did it there. It wasn't a high prestige kind of lady going into that position, as they said. So Eva Perón did some things on her own because she wanted to make a point, right? Eva Perón tossed off the snub and the formed people that were around her. She formed her own foundation. A foundation that touched many lives. Charity foundation that affected many lives. And everyone in the nation started seeing this lady with different eyes. Elevating this Eva Perón to a virtual sainthood before she was dead. Have you heard? You said you heard of her story, right? Yet throughout her life, a lot of other people despised her. All this is a simple reminder, my friends. A simple reminder that too often we do not like those we see, and I want to put those into parentheses, beneath us. It shouldn't even be that way. Beneath us. People that get ahead, that get ahead of us. It's something about the human pecking order, perhaps, that leaves us feeling like we deserve some things. We deserve certain things. Certain status, perhaps. And we resent those who would challenge our view of it all. In the midst of this all, we read this parable this morning. That parable that Linda read to us. A parable about a vineyard and workers. Vineyard workers. And this is a very unique story to Matthew's gospel. And it's introduced in a typical style of Matthew. Don talked about the way that some Christians were known, that song, right? But this phrase is typical of Matthew. The reign of God is like. Matthew uses that a lot. The reign of God is like. Or the kingdom of God is like. Are you following me? Amen? Tracking? All right. Jesus told simple stories. Parábolas. Parables. And he told a story about a landowner going to hire transient workers. You know, give me another word for transient. Temporary, right? What? I like that one. Okay. So, he was out doing that. You may have seen these kind of workers still today. Some of them might talk like me. When I have the accent. Because I'm not going to say that I'm going to hide the fact because I don't have to. I am Hispanic and I am Puerto Ricano and I am proud of it. Amen. But I know that there's a lot of other people who we can see. If we go to Home Depot today, maybe this morning where we're all here praising God, there are people over there waiting to get picked up by somebody to do a job because they have to eat and they have to provide for their families. Yeah, they do. So these workers
We see, and we see often somewhere, it kind of makes us feel that things don't change that much. They were out there when Jesus was around, and they're still around today because people need to eat, people need to provide, right? So, throughout the day, the landowner hires a group of workers. He just picks them up, and he says, come on, I'm going to have this work for you. Some as late as 1 hour. Let's recap this. 1 hour before finishing time, he hires them. There's nothing too surprising here until it comes to the time when they're all going to get paid and everybody sees, hey, wait a minute, they're getting paid first and they came late. And we came later and they're getting paid first. There's nothing too surprising about that until that part comes. The ones hired last get paid first, and everyone's surprised they were giving the same wage. Well, wait a minute. What's going on here? The same wage. We can only imagine how those that were working there for so much many more hours must have felt when that was going on. Hey, if they're getting a full day's work now, at the last moment, they're getting paid now, I wonder how much money we're going to get paid. And they started salivating, probably. There was disappointment, though. Somebody say, uh-oh. There was disappointment because those that were there for 12 hours working, they got paid exactly the same. That wasn't something that they expected. They thought that was wrong, probably, except that that's how things work in the world of God. It's different. He doesn't do things the way we do him. He doesn't have to. He does it the way it's supposed to be done. Hallelujah. There's something intriguing about this parable, my friends, that is, it so directly challenges the way in which our entire society seems to operate. Now, I'd have to tell you to pull yourself by the bootstraps and get ready. The Lord, ooh. Hallelujah. The Lord helps those who help themselves. Are you still following me? Okay. The early bird. Finish that phrase. The what? Okay, the early bird catches. What's going on here then? Because that's not the case of this parable, if you noticed. Maybe that's Jesus' point. Maybe that's exactly Jesus' point. Maybe Jesus is trying to bring something different, something bold, something radical to the table in a radical fashion to tell us that the way in which we operate may well not be in keeping with God's way. The way that God operates is different. And we would do good in noticing this. Yet we never know what Matthew was really trying to talk about. The Gospel of Matthew was written for a church. Are we a church? Yes. Okay. A church that had a lot of issues with membership. Do churches nowadays have issues? Do they? Do they have issues with finances? Yes. Do they have issues with membership? Yes. I'm having fun. Now, what was happening here, I want you to get a glimpse of what was happening here. Those who had been around for generations back in the day that this was written and to whom this was for, this parable, those who had been around for generations as devout Jews, who now were eagerly embracing Jesus as a Messiah, couldn't quite understand, were feeling kind of uncomfortable because of the influx of other people that were coming, Gentiles, people that were different. And they might have even tried to refer to them as them. They're different. Do we have people that are different than we are? How do we treat those people? Do we them them? I love you all, but we have to preach about every part of the Bible, not only the ones that make us feel comfortable. I cannot help thinking that it is clearly in this context that Matthew makes sure he includes this parable for us to understand that we sometimes make those distinctions that instead of keeping us together, divide us. And if the church was in for something, it is not here to cause more division, but it is here to be an entity, something in this world that would bring people together. That, in spite of their different lines of thought, in spite of the color of their skin, in spite of their bad accent, like sometimes I have, in spite of being different, church, Christianity, the heart of Jesus inside of us should make us not consider them, but add all are in. Hallelujah. Maybe you've been here before, this kind of situation. I think most of us have at least occasionally felt a little weird when somebody kind of gets in front of us, or we were there first, you know, what's going on here? What's going on? Someone who seems new, different, an outsider comes in and gets treated as well as or better than we were. Someone who's been around for a long, long time. Or even worse, still those who have been crazy. Have you learned people have been crazy? I still know somebody who's still crazy. A lot of people who have lived their lives in crazy ways and hurt other people without care for the world. And suddenly they come in to a church and some people feel that they're stealing their thunder, and the pastor or whatever, they give them love and all that, and you can't understand. Some churches don't understand, and they treat these people differently, and they just go back home and never come back because they don't feel loved. It's the people that we meet and come into our church, the ones that we actually have to make sure they don't go through that effect of the back door being opened. We need to know how to retain them with love. But God is in the grace business. Somebody say amen. Amen. God is in the business of setting the world right. A world that has gone haywire in many directions, my friends. We willingly can admit that often without, and even without too much elbowing, that we are not worthy of God's love. We are not. We haven't done anything to deserve it. It's not that we deserve it. Sometimes we do everything on the contrary to that. But God gives it to us. His love, He gives it to us. We do not earn it. We cannot earn it. But we still have God pouring His love upon us anyway. Somebody say amen. Amen. But not only that, God wants to pour that love upon others. And that's where we come in the picture, because He wants to use us to do that, my friends. People who we think maybe are less deserving. People. Because in the final analysis, none of us deserves God's love. All of us receive it. I'm not going to say anything else. That's it with that. But just remember, it's either all of us in, or we're not being a church. If we start making standards for people to come into church, if we start making a list of things that they have to do in order to come to God's grace, we're scaring people away and we're being obstacles to the grace of God. And I would only like to see churches that say, come on in. Where do you want to be at any service to the Lord? Where do you want to work for the Lord? There is room for you here. Without looking at their last names, or their history, or their color, or their nationality, or whatever it is, that we just look at them straight in the eye and says, if God can love you, so can I, because I'm no more specialer than you are. Whatever that word was I did there, specialer. So let's be that kind of a church. A church where we're all in. What kind of a church?
One.
May God bless you and keep you.